When you want hummus, where in the KC Metro do you eat? Do you know the best place to get tahin? Tell us. This podcast, Up to Date, is making a best of the best list and needs recommendations for Middle Eastern and Mediterranean restaurants in KC. Text us at 816-601-4777. That's 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
From KCUR, this is Up to Date with Steve Kraske. I'm producer Claudia Brancart. Black women in the United States are three times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women, according to the CDC. There are many reasons for this disparity, such as unequal access to quality healthcare, underlying chronic conditions, and structural racism. Here in Kansas City, the nonprofit Fathers Assisting Mothers is working to address the maternal mortality crisis through its four-week-long Dad Doula Bootcamp. Steve sat down with Fathers Assisting Mothers CEO and co-founder James Hoag and local couple Felicia and Brian McDaniel. Brian completed the Dad Doula program in 2022. Here's their conversation.
So tell us about Fathers Assisting Mothers, James. What services do you guys provide?
Yeah, so here at Fathers Assisting Mothers, we provide birth education that's tailored specifically for fathers. Our goal is to empower expecting fathers, to strengthen families, to make sure they have the information, resources, but more importantly, the community that is necessary for them to fully show up, assist, and advocate for the mothers in their lives.
You know, my experience helping my wife give birth was I didn't really matter a whole lot. And you're suggesting maybe it's something different than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that fathers play a key role in walking through the process and providing that extra set of hands, the help, just the chemical balances that we bring throughout the process. Fathers play a tremendous, tremendous role.
Brian, do you think so too?
I do. I feel like I wanted to be the best father I can be. And so with that, hearing from James, I was like, you know what? He provided me with a lot of support and with a lot of information, you know, things I didn't know and things that I just didn't think to think about.
Yeah.
With helping my wife and just walking me through the stages of pregnancy as well as postpartum. After the fact, after she has a baby, I mean, their bodies are still going through change. And they're going through, you know, with dealing with having a baby, you know, that
right.
new experience. And then
right.
just being there for that was a big help.
So, Felicia, do you want to defend your husband and all husbands? We actually have a role to play in this process.
I think so. I think he's absolutely right. Childbirth and, well, pregnancy, childbirth, and then after the baby is here, all of it is really important. And we actually planned for a home birth, and I end up having preeclampsia and having to go to the hospital. So his knowledge was really helpful. He really helped in the process because I was a little nervous because it was against what we planned for.
Yeah. Well, James, what inspired you to start a nonprofit like this? What happened in your life that got you there?
Man, absolutely. So major shout out to my wife, Shanquita. She was the catalyst for this. And so as we were getting ready to bring our son into the world, in the 2019, we found out that we were pregnant, and just like Felicia, we had planned for a completely natural home birth. But about 6 to 8 weeks prior to our scheduled due date, my wife began to experience complications. Very similar preeclampsia. They thought it was gestational diabetes. Her amniotic fluid was extremely, extremely low. And so we found out we were no longer candidates for home birth, and we had to go to the hospital as well. And through that process, I saw the value of being informed. I saw the empowerment that I had to be able to walk into some of these hospital settings and have conversations with medical staff to make sure that my wife received the care that she deserved. And based upon that, I saw, okay, I had a lot of friends who were getting ready to have children as well. And I wanted to make sure none of my friends or none of the guys within my circle went through this experience uninformed.
Yeah.
And it started grassroots. It was almost like Zoom calls. Brian and a few other fellas and I jumped on, and that led to more. And then after that first after that first few groups, I went out and became a trained doula. I knew, okay, if I'm going to do this, I want to make sure I'm able to offer quality information. And so it was a personal experience that really put us down that path.
I was going to say, at the core of what you're saying is this idea that you really have to advocate for yourself in medical settings. So many people just sit back passively and wait to hear what the doctor or nurse has to say. But you're describing something different here.
Well, absolutely. The reality of it is this, that any situation that you walk into, ignorant or unaware, you are at the whim or the power of whoever is there. Mm-hmm. Now, some medical staff are extremely focused and want to do the right thing. And I don't think many of them are malicious in what they're doing. Yeah. But when you're not informed, then you don't know what the situation should look like or could look like. So it's very vital for you to advocate for yourself. And especially if you are a partner of a black or black woman who the numbers show aren't being listened to, who are perishing through some of these complications, you more than ever need to make sure that you are aware of what's going on.
Now, we've talked a lot about that on this program, Felicia, this idea that black women sometimes are overlooked in lots of medical procedures. How aware of that were you? How concerned about that were you?
Oh, I was very concerned. The idea of giving birth in the hospital and being looked over because I was in pain and nobody believed me was scary. I think, like I said, having my husband know and know me, there was a point where I felt like they even disregarded him for a second, and that made me a little nervous. But he really was able to, because of the knowledge that he had from the boot camp, was able to stand up for himself even. Because I think I was like 8 centimeters, 7 centimeters dilated, and they're asking me questions about paperwork, and I'm like, I'm getting ready to have a baby.
I don't have the energy to answer this question.
And so my husband was able to really advocate for me and say, respectfully, I think I should, you know, answer these questions from here.
So the fact you had an advocate with you right there in the room, what kind of difference did that make for your mindset as you went into this, you know, this huge event in your life of actually giving birth?
I felt so free, especially our second birth, because I experienced it the first time. And so I was able to just focus on getting my child here safely and doing what I knew I needed to do with my body instead of worrying about the technicalities and what could happen and what should happen. My husband was able to handle that, and he was supported. And so I was able to just focus on getting our child here.
Yeah. James, having been through the program, did you feel like you could sort of hang in there and have a conversation and have some understanding of the whirlwind that was circling around you guys at that moment?
Yeah, even if I didn't understand everything that was happening, I think that being present and just being watchful of my wife, of seeing whether or not she was in pain, and then just watching the movements. Okay, if there's a lot of medicines, I want to know what medicines are being used. All right, if she is dilated, okay, about how far apart, like what do I need to know? What do I need to do? And just insert myself to let them know that, hey, I'm here, and I do care. So I want y'all to know that, hey, keep me informed.
And I'm just guessing that by you inserting yourself into the process sort of makes them sort of stay on their toes. The medical folks stay on their toes a little bit here. This is not just going to be a routine thing.
Right.
We're going to do whatever we need to do. You're going to ask some questions here and stay on top of this process.
Right.
How important is that, James?
That's extremely important. And that's one of the key tenets that we walk through within our boot camp is how to advocate. Right. Knowing how to ask the right questions in given times. How do I, if a medical staff brings up an intervention that they want, how do I ask questions about that intervention to make sure, one, that it is appropriate, but then also for them to know that, wait a minute, this guy or this family isn't just going to allow anything to happen. Now, we're not against medical staff, or we're not trying to make it feel as if we are anti-medicine.
No. I'm not taking it that way.
It's really about how do we make sure that the individuals in the room understand that we are informed and that there must be consent with what's happening, but then also that we are a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. We are a team in this. There's no way that you can just insert something without asking us and making sure we are informed.
We'll be right back with more about the Kansas City Dad Doula Boot Camp in just a minute.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
It's interesting to me that the concept of doula has become more mainstream over the past few years.
Yeah.
We even had a death doula on the show just last week. So what exactly is a doula?
Yeah, so a doula is a trained support person that walks with someone through a medical situation, right?
Whatever it is.
In our case, we're talking about birth. And so this individual is not the doctor. They're not the nurse. They offer support, education. They're there for the family that is going through whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. And so they are part of a birth team. So a birth team is made up of individuals who help make your birth plan or your desired birth situation come into fruition. And the team, each person on the team plays a particular role. There's a role for the OB, midwife, doula, family members. All those individuals have a particular role to play within your birth team.
As I mentioned in the opening, typically when you think of the word doula, you think of women.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're bucking that trend with your father's assisting mothers nonprofit.
Absolutely.
Have you taken a little heat for this? You get some guff from the guys,
or
are you rolling it a little bit?
Man, we rolling with it. So my framework is this. I am a trained birth doula, but I'm not trying to show up to anyone's birth. Like, that's not my goal. My goal is solely to provide the education to the fathers. And so most people that I've come in contact with, like, oh, man, I've never thought about that, but it makes perfect sense. I get it.
It makes perfect sense.
But the difficult thing about it is that, so my background is education. My undergrad is education, my master's in education. So that's my lane. And just like within education, if students aren't able to see someone that looks like them, that they can relate to, that's leading, then they are not connected to that information.
Yeah.
Likewise with fathers. If majority of the people who are leading childbirth education or in this space are not connecting with the fathers, then the fathers feel as if this is not for them.
Yeah.
Wanting to buck that trend so that we can reduce some of these disparities.
And Brian, as James was saying that, you were nodding your head. You can connect with what he just said.
I can.
You want
I
to
can.
See somebody who looks like you.
Exactly. And seeing him being so adamant about it, I was like, well, you know what? Maybe he's saying some information that maybe he has something that I need.
How did you bump into him to begin with?
We go back.
Well, you've known each other for a while.
Kids Across America. This was what, 2014?
2014, yeah.
14
years ago. Wow.
What was that?
So James was on the leadership team there, and I was a counselor there. And so just working there throughout the summer, we had our interactions, and that's kind of where it started.
Yeah, it was a sports camp where we worked at.
Sports camp.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you first heard of this idea of a dad doula, Brian, what did you think? What really
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. The word was new to me, and I was like, okay, a doula.
Doula?
We're going to figure out what it is.
I don't know what it is, but
I'm all ears. I'm all ears. And so when he explained it, and then I heard a little bit about a doula. I think the first time I heard the word doula was from my wife, from her friend. She had a friend that was a doula as well, and she kind of just described that it was support. Support, and I just heard different things about how they help with the pregnancy process. And so I'm thinking, okay, if they're willing to help, I'm all for it. Because I want to prevent any type of complications or anything that could happen that I don't want to happen.
Felicia, what did you think of it when you heard about this idea of dad doulas? Were you open to it or were you like suspicious of it?
Oh, I'm open.
Yeah,
I was definitely open.
Yeah.
I think that, like I said, even with our example of him being overlooked in the hospital room, I think that a lot of times fathers are just like, oh, we help make the baby and we're going to make a bottle and change a diaper. And so I think it's good for the dad doula to remind people that they, or to remind dads specifically, that they can offer so much more support.
Yeah.
And so it benefits not only them, but it benefits us in the long run when our husbands or our partners know what's needed and expected of them.
And would you expect this idea is going to begin to spread pretty rapidly? Because, again, we're sitting here talking and someone made the point that this makes so much sense. It does make so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it'll spread rapidly. I think that it's spreading. I think that doulas for both mothers and fathers is becoming a big thing. And so definitely this idea of a dad doula, I think it will continue to spread.
So originally you wanted to do a home birth, right?
Yes, sir.
But part of this whole process of pregnancy means sometimes you got to pivot.
Sometimes you got to pivot.
So how difficult of a pivot was that for you guys?
It's more of expectations, letting go of your expectations. The hospital staff did an excellent job, I will say. We didn't have a lot of problems with the transition, but just this expectation. And like you said, thinking about the mortality rate, I had preeclampsia, which means my blood pressure was really high.
I was going to say, is that what that is?
Yes, yeah. Preeclampsia. It's protein in your urine, and then you have extremely high blood pressure. And so at those rates that my blood pressure was, I could have had a stroke or a seizure. Yeah. Mm. And so the best way to cure it is to get the baby out of there. And yeah. So that was a little scary.
Sure it is.
But once again, going back to that doula's, having the support of my husband meant everything. And I was able to just relax and focus on relaxing my body and getting my baby here.
Yeah. James, there's going to be a dad doula boot camp this Correct. Saturday, April 20th. What are participants going to learn at that thing? How do people connect to it?
Absolutely. So this will be week one. It's a four-week course, and we meet each Saturday starting on the 20th. And each week has a different theme. 1 week we'll be focusing just on the basics of fatherhood, understanding how life is going to change. Other weeks we'll be walking
through. Wait. You're saying that life does change when you become father?
if it doesn't, it's a problem.
You can't go out and play golf every Saturday like you used to. Yeah.
But to that point, Steve, that's why a lot of guys need the support there. Mm-hmm. Because, man, my life, what it used to look like, is no longer there.
Yeah.
And understanding that, man, men experience postpartum depression as well. Helping mm-hmm. guys understand that, listen, life does change, and it's okay for life to change. But when you have this community of guys who's life changing as well, there's some sense of normalcy that you can have within
it. How do you deal with guys who look you in the eye and say, I like my life. I don't want my life to change just because someone got pregnant.
I haven't had that too much. Thankfully, each guy that we've come in contact with has wanted to be involved. The question was just how.
Mm-hmm.
How do I be involved? How do I be there? So one of the things that we want to make sure guys understand that life is going to change. But if you're not ready for that, how can we connect you with some resources, counselors, people that you can talk to help you walk through that process to make sense of it?
Yeah, I just keep on thinking that so many fathers-to-be feel so disconnected from their partner's pregnancy.
Yeah.
And you're saying this program will help bring them closer to what's mm-hmm. going on here.
If a father comes in and truly inserts himself to the program, trust the process, you will see the connection that you have with your partner throughout this process.
Yeah.
We'll walk through the life change, walk through mastering labor and delivery. What does that look like? What are some of the terminology, the vocabulary that will be used in those spaces? Walking through postpartum care. And then lastly, we walk through advocacy. We spend a whole week on how do you be an advocate for your partner.
Brian, how did the program change your outlook on fatherhood?
Well, number one, I had to look at the postpartum part, like mm-hmm. the after. Okay, she's having a baby. You go through the trimesters, all three trimesters. She has the baby. Then what? You know, mm-hmm. how do I help? Okay, I only can do so much, but what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So after the fact, I even asked Zangs. Okay, I'm like, oh, what am I looking for?
Yeah.
And so he was like, just make sure you're present. Make sure you're present. And kind of pay attention to her because she might not be able to express how she's feeling.
Yeah.
And so it's more so of asking questions, kind of seeking the help, and if I can do something for it, do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's putting the feet up or whatever the case may be.
You have a son, right?
Yes.
How is your son?
He's 2 years old.
2 years old.
2 years old.
Congratulations.
And baby girl, she's 5 months.
That's great.
She's 5 months.
That's good for you. Yeah. Well, yes, congratulations on all that.
Thank you.
And again, how can people connect? Is there a website to go to that you would point to, James? Where can people go to get more information?
Yeah, absolutely. To get more information about Fathers Assist Mothers, our website is thatsmyfam.org. thatsmyfam.org is our website. But then we do a lot of stuff on social media. So our Instagram is The Dad's Doula. The Dad's Doula on Instagram or thatsmyfam.org to connect with us to get more information, sign up for the boot camp, whatever the case may be, we'll love to connect with you.
That was our host, Steve Kroski, speaking with James Hogue and Felicia and Brian McDaniel. Up To Date is a production of KCUR, and this podcast was produced by me, Claudia Brancart. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk again soon.